So Jeremiah's speaking. He says, Judah's sin is engraved with an iron tool, inscribed with a flint point on the tablet of their hearts and on the horns of their altars. Even their children remember their altars and Asherah poles beside the spreading trees and on the high hills. My mountain and the land and your wealth and all your treasures I will give away as plunder, together with your high places, because of sin throughout your country. Through your own fault, you will lose the inheritance I gave you. I will enslave you to your enemies in a land you do not know, for you have kindled my anger and it will burn forever. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in a man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. Like a partridge that hatches eggs it did not lay, are those who gain riches by unjust means. When their lives are half gone, their riches will desert them, and in the end they will prove to be fools. A glorious throne, exalted from the beginning, is the place of our sanctuary. Lord, you are the hope of Israel. All who forsake you will be put to shame. Those who turn away from you will be written in the dust, because they have forsaken the Lord, the spring of living water. Heal me, Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved. For you are the one I praise. They keep saying to me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it now be fulfilled. I have not run away from being your shepherd. You know I have not desired the day of despair. What passes my lips is open before you. Do not be a terror to me. You are my refuge in the day of disaster. Let my persecutors be put to shame, but keep me from shame. Let them be terrified, but keep me from terror. Bring on them the day of disaster. Destroy them with double destruction. Now, I hope you are listening really carefully to that reading. Now, I know that was quite a lot. Jeremiah always has a lot to say. His is the biggest book in the Old Testament and in the whole Bible. And as we heard Jeremiah speaking, he did speak about the heart, didn't he? And can anyone remember any of the things that Jeremiah said about the heart? There was a few things. They're quite hard words. Let me ask you another question then. Do you think what Jeremiah said, or God said through his word, do you think they're good things about our hearts or bad things? What do you think? Good things or bad things? Adults, you can join in as well if you like. It's just so I feel like I'm not the only one doing my thumbs. Good things or bad things? They were bad things. You see, Jeremiah's message as it came to God's people was a bad message about their hearts. And very simply, the big point we're going to learn today is this. Our hearts need healing. Okay, here's some actions for you. So it's all of us, it's not just me, it's not just you, it's all of our hearts. Our hearts need healing. Okay, can we do that all together? 1, 2, 3. Our hearts need healing. This is the big lesson from what we learnt together. And our hearts need healing because they don't function as they were made to. Our hearts need healing because they are broken. Our hearts need healing because once they were created to fully love the Lord, the God who made them, but now they don't. They're broken. They're not quite right. And so this morning, we're going to look at two reasons Jeremiah says our hearts need healing. So here's the first one, okay? And it just about fits on here. Look at that. Our hearts need healing because firstly, they're engraved with sin, okay? We'll come on to what that means. I'm going to show you the actions for this, and then we'll talk about what it means. So our hearts need healing because they're engraved with sin. And for that, what I thought we could do is just write the word sin on your heart, okay? Can you do that? So we'll practice engraved with sin. So engraved with sin. So this is it, what we're learning. Can we say it all together? Now we've done the bits and parts. Right, one, two, three. Our hearts need healing because they're engraved with sin. Now I'm going to show you something, and I want you to tell me what it is, okay? And if you could tell me what it is, I will give you a sweet. Because it's August, and I feel like we might need a little bit of motivation for some answers. So, I'm going to show you something. You ready? Have to have your hand up, though. No calling out. Ready? Here we go. Hands up. Who can tell me what this is? Oh, now I see some more hands coming up. Right, come on then. What is this? Oh, you said that at the both time. I feel like I have to give you both a sweet. Right. Any preference on colour? In fact, you could probably reach and get one. Don't reach. Just take one. One, as in one, not one handful. That'd be good. Fantastic. This is a trophy. Now, can anyone, this is my next question for a sweet. Can anyone tell me what this was won for? Any guesses? Just have a quick look, and then I'm going to make it easier, because this trophy comes with something else, which will give it away a little bit more. Right, here we go. Let's have a look. Take your time. Take your time. Right, who's going to go for it? Go on then. It will countdown winner. Fantastic. Right, come get a sweet then. You can probably guess where the next question is going. Right, here you go. Brilliant. Now, I did have some trophies at home, I promise you, but I couldn't find any. So they do exist. I won quite a few for chess when I was younger, I promise you. It's really cool. Right, here we go. Now, just next question. Whose trophy do we think it is? I'm going to make this easier. Oh, Ruth's hand stopped straight away. It's not yours, is it, Ruth? Right, I'll make it easier. Ready? Any guesses? Anyone? Anyone? Go on then, Abby. Tom Kappelman's. Thank you, Tom, for letting me borrow this, by the way. Abby, I'm going to throw you your sweet. Here you go. Wait, Abby, to earn your sweet, which I've just thrown to you, how do you know it's Tom's? Because it says on it. Because on trophies is often where there's something engraved. There's something engraved this side, but it didn't say his name, so I thought I'd just write it. But trophies have something engraved. Now, has anyone else won a trophy for anything? Has anyone won a trophy for anything? What have you won a trophy for? For running. Did you have your name on it? Was something engraved on it? Something written? Or was it? No, it doesn't have to be a name. Anyone else win a trophy for anything? Only two people won a trophy. Louise, have you won a trophy for something? For doing sports at school, fantastic. We're very sporty, aren't we? The front row here. Now, on trophies, there's often an engraving, okay? It shows who it is and what it was won for. So if one of you this morning thought, well, that looks like a really, really cool trophy, could you take this and say that it was yours? Do you reckon? Thumbs up, thumbs down? Do you think you could take it or not take it and say that this was yours? Why could you not take this trophy and say that it was yours? What does it have on it? Go on, Alicia. It's got Tom's name on it. You can't just steal it. So, Tom, I will leave it there. And if someone steals it, it should be pretty obvious. Now, engravings are cool because on trophies, it means it's permanent. You can't take these engravings off. You can't remove them. You can't rub over them. You can't write your name over the top. And when it comes to trophies, that's really cool that they are engraved. So it's your trophy. No one can take it from you, which is brilliant. But sadly, what we just read in Jeremiah the prophet Jeremiah, as he spoke, he said not trophy was engraved, he said our hearts were engraved, and that they're engraved with sin. That's what it means. So let me just show you this verse again from Jeremiah. It said Judah's sin, Judah's a name for God's people. Judah's sin is engraved with an iron tool, inscribed with a flint point on the tablets of their hearts. See, these words describe that our inner selves, our souls, our spiritual hearts, they're stained. It's as if someone's got a pen and written over our hearts, sin. That is our heart. Now, sin's a word we often use at the front of church, and we use it because it's an important Bible word that we have to understand. Now, there's lots of different ways of knowing what it means, and there's lots of kind of variety of what sin means. But here's one way to remember what sin means, okay? Who can spell sin for me? It's pretty easy because it's up there. Who can tell me how we spell it? S-I-N. Right in the middle of the word sin is I. And one way of remembering what sin means is to remember how it's spelt, because it's when I put myself in the middle of everything else. When I put myself in the center of life and kind of push God out of it and say, no, I'm going to live life my way. I'm going to ignore what you say. I want to be the center of all that I do, not what you do. I want to be number one. I want to ignore what God says. So when you're mean to a friend because they've done something against you, that's sin. When you ignore what your mom or dad or teacher say because you don't want to do things their way, you want to do it your own way, that's sin. It includes doing good things for wrong reasons. It includes our thoughts when we think wrongly. It includes our mouths when we say things we shouldn't. And it includes our actions when we do something against someone else. And any sin, every sin, even the ones we've done this morning, but all of our lives, even just one sin is enough to engrave our hearts with it. All of our hearts are engraved with sin. We are all sinners. Just listen to these words of Jesus, which comes in Mark's gospel. Jesus says, what comes out of a person is what defiles them or makes them unclean. For it is out of a person's heart that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside a person. See, Jesus is saying the same thing. And that's a really long list full of words that we won't go into trying to explain now. But it includes this, okay? Our hearts are so stained, our hearts are full of lies for the times where we've said something wrongly against someone else. Perhaps our hearts are full of the sin of anger when we've got angry about something, when someone's being unkind to us. Our hearts are full of greed when we've wanted to keep things for ourselves rather than share what God has given us. Our hearts are full of envy when we've wanted something else that someone else has. So all of this together means our hearts are engraved with sin. Let's say all of this together firstly. Ready? One, two, three. Our hearts need healing because they're engraved with sin. Now when Jeremiah first stood up and told God's people that their hearts were engraved with sin, do you think they were really pleased by that? Do you think they were pleased? No, you're absolutely right, they weren't. They didn't like it. And yet, actually, his message hadn't finished. You see, adults, you can look at the next couple of verses, but because their sin was engraved on their hearts, there was punishment that was going to come. So he said, we're told that they would be given away by God, that they would lose what they had, that they would become slaves. And that's exactly what happens. You see, a while later, they're taken from their home and they're taken into captivity, into Babylon, which is where we started our series of Ezra. That's where they went because they didn't listen to God. And this is a picture of exactly what our sin deserves. Our sin deserves to be punished, and we deserve to be sent away from God. So this is reason number one. Let's say it all together, nice loud voice. Ready? One, two, three. Our hearts need healing because they're engraved with sin. That's reason number one. Reason number two is this. It's another long word. Ready? So it's because they're deceitful above all. Now, I didn't actually think of a good action for deceitful, so we're going to go for this because it's not a good thing, all right? So we're going to go deceitful above all. Can we just practice that? Ready? Deceitful above all. Now, let me show you another verse that we've read earlier. It says right in the middle of our chapter, it says this, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? See, now the word deceitful means dishonest, something or someone who cannot be trusted.
Sim.
Oh, yes, Samuel?
Do you still have those sins of trusting you with?
Yeah, I've got them somewhere. Can anyone see any scissors? No? Do you know what? I think they're in the vestry. Do you mind if I just quickly go and get them?
Okay.
So I'll be back in just one moment. I'm sure they're around here somewhere. I'm sorry, Armel. I've just been looking everywhere for these sweets. Sweets? I was trying to find you. Has someone been eating my sweets? Someone's trod on this one. Oh, Armel, I was trying to find your scissors. Are you sure you gave them to me? Oh. Boys and girls, someone been eating my sweets? These are all I've got until lunchtime. I'm not pleased about that. Oh, do you know, I'll have another look, but I'm a bit worried about my sweets.
It's fine, I'll look after them.
Oh, shall I let Armel look after my sweets?
Go.
Oh, Armel, you're such a good friend. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Let's have a look around here somewhere. I'm not sure they're here. Are these your scissors? What is going on? Are you eating my sweets? Why are you on the floor?
Oh. I was trying to get the sweets, but these guys here, they've been here.
Boys and girls, that's really unkind. Armel was just trying to guard my sweets. Why are you trying to take my sweets? I won't bring them next time if they're going to start eating my sweets.
No.
That's really mean, actually. Are you okay?
So you're right. Just a few
I've gone. Here, have a sweet. You must be hungry.
Thank you.
You must be really hungry. Are these your scissors, by the way?
No.
Ah. Oh. I'll have one final look, all right?
Yep.
Are you going to be all right, though?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, okay.
Sure.
All right. Armel, how could you?
What?
You've been deceitful. I was just trying to find your scissors. Was that the only reason you were sending me in there every time so you could eat my sweets? That's really out of order, mate. What are you doing?
I'm sorry.
Oh, well, do you know what? I'm sorry, actually, because actually they hadn't done anything wrong, and I accused them. I didn't believe them because you'd lied to me. Are these your scissors, by the way? Are they? I'm sure yours had a massive label on them. You could take them anyway.
I'll take them.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm sorry about that. Sorry. But Do you want to go give Tom some sweets? Let me just check the script. No, it wasn't part of the script, mate. It's absolutely fine. Don't worry, Tom. I've looked after it really well. Great. Well, what are we learning? What are we doing? Right. Number two. This is what we're learning. Can we say all of this together? Okay. One, two, three. Our sin. Oh, sorry. I've lost the plot. Let's do it again. Ready? One, two, three. Our hearts need healing because they're engraved with sin and they're deceitful above all. So I said sin because it says it on the heart, which is also true. Now, as I was saying, this word deceitful means being dishonest, someone who can't be trusted or something that cannot be trusted. A little bit like Armel then. He was being deceitful, wasn't he? He was kind of sending me off into the vestry looking for his scissors so that he could eat all these sweets that are still over the stage. Glad you enjoyed that one, Helen. So Armel was being deceitful. He kept tricking me to go so he could do what he wanted. And this is how the Bible says our hearts treat us. The Bible says that our hearts are deceitful. They lead us astray. They cannot always be trusted when they, as it were, tell us things. So you might have heard this phrase before. Has anyone ever heard the phrase, you know, follow your heart. Do what your heart says. Do what your heart tells you to do. And it sounds really lovely, doesn't it? Oh, that's, I'm going to follow my heart and do what I think. But the Bible says that's nonsense. The Bible says, don't do it because your heart is deceitful. It is unreliable. Now, obviously, this isn't good news, but it gets worse. If you look how it goes on, it says the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? No one here, in one sense, can understand fully the depths of our heart and its deceit. No one here can fix our hearts. There's no amount of washing of our hearts that we can do on our own that's going to kind of fix our hearts and put them how they should be. They are a mess. Our hearts are engraved with sin, and they deserve to be punished. Our hearts are deceitful above all things, and they're beyond cure. So what can we do? Our hearts need healing. Well, thankfully, this isn't all that Jeremiah has to say. His message reveals the big problem of our hearts, but he also reveals a wonderful answer. You see, in the midst, as he's talking to God's people, as he's telling them about their sin that's engraved in their heart, that's deceitful above all, he says this. He turns to the Lord. He turns to the one who can help. And he says, heal me, Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. Jeremiah turns to the one who's made us and who knows us and who has a pure heart, the one who can understand and cure our hearts. And so we're called to do the same. This is our final thing. If this is true, as the Bible says, then what do we do in response? Well, we're to call to the heart healer. Okay? So we're going to do this. We're going to go, so, call to the heart healer. Okay? Let's just practice this line. Ready? One, two, three. So, call to the heart healer. So today, if you had a problem with your physical heart, okay, who could you go and see? If your heart was hurting a little bit, if you didn't feel particularly well, who could you go and see? Any suggestions? Where could you go? You go see a doctor. If it was particularly your heart, you could go and see a heart surgeon. You could say to them, look, my heart's hurting, what can I do? And hopefully, they'd be able to tell you what's wrong with your heart and hopefully be able to help you fix it. But with our spiritual heart, there's no one on earth who can cure it. No one who even understands them. But there is someone who can, and that is the heart healer. It's the Lord who we've read about in Jeremiah chapter 17. He's the one who searches our hearts and examines our minds. You see, God knows us because he made us. He can see into our hearts. He sees that this is what is on our hearts. He sees the sin. He sees the lies. He sees the greed and the envy and the anger. He knows that we've naturally turned away from him and gone our own way. He knows that we have ignored him. But he is the heart healer. He knows what we're like and yet is so kind to us. And he comes and he restores us. He commends our broken hearts. He alone is the one who can, as it were, remove the sin that's engraved in our hearts. He alone is the one who can cure our hearts. See, Jeremiah goes on to say just a few chapters later these words, okay? Let me read them to you. He says, the Lord one day will put his law in their minds and write on their hearts. So God promises that one day he's going to come and he's going to start writing, as it were, covering the engraved sin. He's going to come and write his words, his law. I will be their God, he says, and they will be my people. And it goes on to say this. Listen to how cool this verse is. It says, for I, the Lord, will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Isn't that a cool verse? We've got a huge problem, but God says he's going to do something about it. Do you see? The Lord, the heart healer we need. He promised to Jeremiah that he's going to do something about it, that he would change our hearts from being ones that have got sin engraved on them to being hearts that would start to once again follow him. Hearts that he would remove the sin from and give a new heart, one that was obedient to him. See, that's why we need to call to the heart healer. He can do it. He can heal our hearts. Now, you might be thinking, how can God just kind of forgive our sins and kind of forget them, as it said in that verse? See, after all, sin is permanent, isn't it? I can't just rub this out. It's permanent and deserving of punishment. Well, that is true, but it takes us right to the heart of the Bible story. It takes us straight to our Lord Jesus. See, think of Jesus. Did Jesus ever have sin engraved in his heart? One person thinks no. Did Jesus ever have sin engraved in his heart? No, he didn't. Did Jesus ever have deceit found in his lips or his heart or anywhere on his body? No, he didn't. See, Jesus was perfect. He was perfect in what he thought, in what he said, and what he did. He always lived with God as number one. He always listened to God's word and put it into practice. When people tried to falsely accuse him when he was on trial before his death, that all these false witnesses came and they said, Jesus did this, Jesus did this, and they never matched up because they were lying, because Jesus had never done anything wrong. Jesus had a clean heart. This is what Jesus' heart looks like, not like ours. Yet he went to the cross, and at the cross, an amazing swap took place. See, Jesus took the punishment we deserve for having sin engraved on our hearts and for the deceitfulness we have in our hearts. So as we call out to the heart healer, the one who can save us, what he does is this. It's as if he takes our dirty hearts, if I can get it off, and he sticks them at the cross of Jesus. And he nails all the sins that we've ever done, all the lies we've had, all the anger we've shared, all the times we've been jealous. He nails it to the cross of Jesus. And he said, Jesus, you're going to take the punishment that that deserves. But not only does he remove the sin from us, he gives us a new heart. I don't really need to cover that one, but there we go. He gives us a new heart. So, through the cross, we can be forgiven, we can be healed. So should we say all of this together, okay? What have we been learning this morning? We've been learning our hearts need healing because they're engraved with sin, they're deceitful above all, so call to the heart healer. That's what we need to do. This is what we've been learning this morning. So as we start this new series, the first thing we've learned is that our hearts need healing. And that he, the Lord, alone can do it for us. Now, just as we end, let me ask you a couple of questions, okay? Just to think about. Do you hear, boys and girls, adults, do you agree with what the Bible teaches about our hearts? Do you agree that your heart is engraved with sin, that it's deceitful above all? Now, if you don't, here's my challenge for you. If you don't think this is a true description of your heart, then today and this week, why not think about the things that you think about, the things that you do? See if you can, as it were, remain good, as it were, even for your own standards, and then against God's. See, it's as we read the Bible that we see our sin more clearly, because we see God, our Creator. So why not this week, as it were, challenge, see? And I hope, my prayer would be that you would come to this realization with the rest of us that your heart needs healing. And when you get there, let me urge you to call to the heart healer. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to put your sins on Jesus at the cross and for him to give you a new heart. If you're already trusting in Jesus for this swap, then today the call's the same. Let's keep trusting the heart healer. Keep calling to him to forgive you for the sins of your hearts. Should we say this one more time together and then I'll pray. Ready? Our hearts need healing because they're engraved with sin and they're deceitful above all. So, call to the heart healer. Let me pray as we end. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is truth. And we thank you again this morning that it's revealed what you already know about us, that our hearts are full of sin. Father, please forgive us for all of our sins that we've done this week and for the sins we've even done this morning. Father, you know our hearts. And yet, in your grace, in your kindness to us, you sent the Lord Jesus to do something about it. That he was always the plan from the beginning of time to come into our world, to take the punishment we deserve for our sin and our wickedness, and then to give us, as we call to you, to give us new hearts. Lord, please may we trust that to be true, whether for the first time today or as an ongoing experience of your kindness to us. Help us to have hearts which are fully devoted to you, which choose you above ourselves. Father, please heal us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.